being able to know that there's something going on with that particular end user. And then the phone calls need to be happening at that point in time. Go find that end user and talk to them voice to voice. Well, that's it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Today's programming was recorded before the COVID-19 national crisis.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of education, educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. Welcome to the 2020 WGTD Education Matters Kenosha Unified School District School Board Candidates Forum. I'm your host, Karen Sconsert. Welcome to our four candidates, Yolanda Santos Adams, Kyle Flood, Todd Price, and Dan Wade. The school board election will be held on Tuesday, April 7th, along with the Wisconsin presidential primary. I'll explain the format and timing for the forum in a moment, but as a matter of full disclosure, I want to say that I am an associate professor of education at Carthage College in Kenosha, and therefore I have a lot of experience with KUSD schools through my students in the schools and also interviewing KUSD personnel for this radio program. I'm also a former KUSD parent whose child attended from K through 8th grade. I no longer live in the district, so I cannot vote for any of the participants in this forum. So the format for our program will be as follows. Each candidate will have 1 minute to introduce him or herself and tell us why they are running and their qualifications for the position of the school board member. After that, I will ask a series of questions and each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer. I will give a 15-second nonverbal warning as your time is running out. Please adhere to the time limit as well as you can. If there is extra time in your 2 minutes, I might ask a follow-up question or ask for clarification. The order of the candidates will rotate with each question, so each candidate will have a chance to answer first, second, third, and fourth. If we have time for more than four questions, I will start the cycle over. At the end of our time, each candidate will have the chance to give a closing or summary statement. We'll start with introductions and opening statements. You will have 1 minute each. So first is Ms. Adams.
Good morning, and thank you, WGTD 91.1 FM, for inviting us and for hosting this forum this morning. I would like to introduce myself, Yolanda Santos Adams. I am a product of Kenosha Unified School Districts, K through 12. I also have served previously as a school board member. I had service about 15 years ago, and I am currently filling an unexpired term of a previous school board member, so I've had 6 months back on the board. I share the belief in the mission of Kenosha Unified School District, and that is to provide excellent learning opportunities and experiences that prepare our students for success in our schools. That is what motivates me the most. To return to the school board after 15 years. And I also believe supporting teachers is so important so that we work together to address the needs of our children in our schools. My financial background as an accountant, CFO, CEO is probably what brings my experience and qualifications to the school board. I'd like to help out once again and serve in this capacity and serve my constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Adams. The next will be Kyle Flood.
Hi, thanks for having us this morning. My name's Kyle Flood. I'm a former school board member, a committed community advocate, a 2012 Trepper High School graduate. Go Trojans. I currently serve on the board of Over Our Head Players, which is a nonprofit theater in Racine, as well as Stop Heroin in Kenosha, a nonprofit here in town. I'm running because KUSD is falling behind. Falling behind on academics, falling behind in its ability to attract quality employees, and falling behind on the cultural issues that make the district a place for everybody. I'm running to get back on the school board to push the hard and important conversations forward on safety, on staff salary and benefits, on student achievement, and the desperate need to increase transparency. I look forward to talking about these issues today, and I'm glad to join my fellow candidates.
Thank you, Mr. Flood. Next is Mr. Price.
Thank you, WGTD. Much appreciated. I'm a professor, Todd Price. I'm a professor of curriculum and a director of educational policy studies. I'm also a parent, and I have two children in the Kenosha Unified School District who are doing fabulous, and it's real exciting to see how well they're doing, but they're fortunate because their mom is a teacher and their father is a professor. And I'm frankly running because I want all the kids to do well. I'm a progressive and I wear that proudly. I want all students to do well, and students come first. And our teachers need to have the professional development that they can serve the students well. And I'm keenly interested in keeping our funds in the public schools. Our public schools must be resourced well enough so that they can do the job. So I want to thank you for this opportunity. Look forward to a stimulating conversation.
Thank you. And next is Mr. Wade.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you to WGTD. I am Dan Wade. I am a two-term member on the school board. I am presently president of the school board. I retired from law enforcement approximately 12 years ago after 35 years of public service. In 2014, I decided to continue my public service and ran for school board. Children have always been the most important thing in my life, both of my kids and all the kids that I've seen out on the street in my capacity in law enforcement. We have a long way to go, and it is my task and my duty to make sure that all the students get the very best possible education possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so now we'll proceed with our first question. Everyone will have a chance to answer this question for 2 minutes, and we start with Mrs. Adams. The question is, how would you determine your budget priorities? With a limited amount of funds to distribute, how do you decide between curriculum, infrastructure updates, salary increases, health insurance, prep time for teachers, class sizes, and so on?
That is a very good question, because that is one of the primary roles of a school board member, is to set the budget annually. And it's an extensive budget. We're talking about over $300 million with a majority of funding coming from a special tax levy on property tax owners. So how do we divvy that up to make sure that teachers are our salaries and expenses are covered, as well as facilities improvements and the needs of the children in the classroom, the needs of the teachers in the classroom. So I think the district is doing a pretty decent job. There are some areas where I do believe, as a budget expert, I have a background in finance and budgets. I create budgets. I can see where there's areas that we could probably shift some of the money to classrooms and to the needs of some of our, you know, our most important employees, which are our teachers, but all at the same time making sure that we stay under budget for our taxpayers. So it is a budget process that board members do participate in, and I have vast experience in that. I was previously on the audit and budget committee of the school board. I was school board president as well as Mr. Wade, and I have my job as a CFO was always to do things in a different way so that we cut costs while improving efficiency, and that is where my CFO experience will come in to play, and I have that experience serving and working with the annual budget of Kenosha Unified School District.
Okay, thank you. Next is Mr. Flood.
Thank you. So I think your question was, how do we decide our priorities of divvying up? I think that the number one way that you do that is you bring the community in. You bring in parents, you bring in the taxpayers, you bring in teachers, you bring in everyone, students especially, and you find out what the priorities are. The board itself shouldn't be setting the priorities for the tax dollars that the whole community is paying. Students have to come first. I think that most people in the community would agree with that. That means addressing high class sizes. That means increasing prep time. These are things that are possible. These are things that are affordable. The district recently had a $7 million surplus. They chose to use it to give a $1,000 bonus to all staff members. Got put on their paycheck, slammed in taxes. They also used it for a lot of facilities improvements, $4 million of facilities improvements. Every year we have these surpluses. Every single year there's some kind of surplus. And I am interested, once I get on the board, in sitting down with the superintendent and the CFO to talk about why we have these surpluses. Are we doing this purposely? Are we budgeting this way purposely so that we have this money set aside for these one-time projects? And if that's the case, if we know how much money there is year to year to set aside for that, do we have it to address class sizes? Do we have it to address prep time? Do we have it to address these yearly expenses? So that's the conversation I'd be looking at having. And when it comes to class size, when I was on the board last, I lowered class size by changing the class size policy for elementary schools. Me and school board member Rebecca Stevens worked on it. We proposed a policy, we capped the class size to at a lower level, and the administration had to work with it. They had to budget that way. And that's how we could do it again.
Okay, thank you very much. Next is Mr. Price.
I'll acknowledge I'm the only one who hasn't been on the board, so I haven't seen the books, and I'd like to see those books. I'd like to have an audit the first day when I'm there. That might be pie in the sky, but I really would like to see how we're spending our monies. I'm aware, I did my homework about the different limitations on those funds given by the state, and I've been a champion that we push harder at the state level to free up some funds so that we're not always scrapping for pennies and shortchanging kids, frankly. But seriously, in terms of what we could do to leverage it a little better, I think we could rely on our technology a bit more. We are in the 21st century. My university leverages costs by doing more teleconferencing for professional development, for example, for our teachers. Our teachers have to be up to speed with the latest and greatest in curriculum and instruction, and we could do more of that. I'm sure they would welcome that, because I know that they're feeling quite overworked, and there must be some ways that we can help them so that they can help the kids. We also have to update our curriculum. I want to give kudos actually to Kyle and others who have been doing some work on that curriculum. I did study that. One of my students at the university explained what the curriculum audit has entailed for our district. I think we've come halfway, but we need to go further. Those are the priorities to me. I hope these are the same priorities for the community. I need to hear more from the community. I'm trying to hear more from the community. I think when it boils down to your kid, parents want excellent teachers. They want up-to-date curriculum, and they don't think about costs and figures that way. They want what's best for their child. Of course, we need to also make sure that the taxpayer isn't bearing all the brunt of that, but that's a political question, and we need to get more assertive about that. And that's what I can say, not being on the board right now. I'd like to look further into how we are spending our money. Thank you.
Thank you. And the last is Mr. Wade.
Thank you. I don't want to be redundant here, but the budget is a very important part of our job as school board members. We approve budgets, we assist with the input into the budgets, but again, we need input from outside. What our students learn is very, very important, but safety is also very, very important. Some of that money should be allocated for safety in schools, because unless the child feels safe in our schools, they're not going to learn. But being a budget person myself during my time on the Kenosha Police Department, I understand the restrictions and the difficulty you have in gaining funding for whatever it is you're looking for. In our case, of course, the school budget. State levies have been down. Student enrollment is declining, which means less state funds coming our way. We have to think out of the box, if you will. We have to find ways to acquire more funding, and again, how to spend it in the best way that is beneficial for all of our students and the taxpayers. Oftentimes, I think people somewhat forget about taxpayers, but they're the ones that pay for the education. Curriculum, when I came on the board, the audit was in place. I think we've done a pretty decent job on getting the curriculum back in shape, but one of our best jobs that we've done as a board was in 2014 in selecting Dr. Sue Savaglio-Jarvis as our superintendent. Between her and her staff, they have made amazing progress in making sure that our students do get the best quality education.
Okay, thank you very much. For the next question, we're going to start with Mr. Flood and work our way through the list alphabetically, with Mrs. Adams as the last one. So the next question is, how would you recruit and maintain and retain a diverse staff? How would you make students of color feel welcome in a district with predominantly white leadership and little minority representation? For example, what sort of professional development do you think is needed to train teachers and staff on culturally responsive practices and trauma-informed practices?
Sure. So I worked at Walgreens, and at Walgreens we have cultural bias training. Starbucks has cultural bias training. Retail companies, restaurants, they all are giving their employees cultural bias training, and the school district is not. So I think that that's number one, is that we need to train our staff on how to handle issues with black students, issues with Hispanic students, issues with LGBTQ students. We have to do more on that. It's easy enough to implement that training. It's something that staff is asking for. It's something we can do. As far as recruiting a more diverse staff, I think that the first step is that we need to make better decisions about our staffing. We need to make better decisions about the benefits we're offering our staffing. I never would have voted to take away the WEA health insurance from our staff as it stands. It was good insurance and it attracts employees to the district. We need to work with our universities. I know that Carthage has a program where they are working with Racine schools to kind of bring in more minority teachers to the schools. I don't know why Kenosha hasn't taken advantage of that same thing. We also need to speak with the community. We need to go into the neighborhoods. We need to go into the public libraries everywhere, and we need to bring people in and say, how do we attract this staff? Because I mean, 25-year-old white guy doesn't have all the answers to how we attract more diversity to the district. But the community does. There are people all around this community who know exactly what we need to do. And I would bring them in, I would have those discussions, and I think that we would see a lot of progress.
Okay, thank you. The next is Dr. Price.
So at my university, and this is an exceedingly important question, and I too would have and did oppose the cuts in the healthcare package, because we have to make teaching an attractive profession. And when we keep de-skilling and hurting the profession, then you're not going to see people of color want to come into the profession. And we know clearly we need to have teachers of color in front of students who look like them and vice versa. But short of that, we have great teachers across color and class and ethnicity and religion that can teach diverse classrooms. And frankly, my teacher preparation program does much work with culturally sustaining pedagogy. And there's a slight change, and forgive me for being a little academic here, but the sustainable part is key, because our neighborhoods are changing and our culture is changing. And I'm not so sure at my age I'm always in touch with what younger folks want or need. So I constantly have to be working with other teachers and with youth to find out what are their goals, what are their aspirations. And I think that's important. So we need to diversify our workforce. I think we could certainly have more Latino and Latina teachers in particular, because a lot of our schools are changing rapidly. The schools I see, for example, in Chicago, there's great schools and great teachers out there, but sometimes those schools are being segregated, not because of our culture, but more because of the politics and of the defunding of public schools. I think if we make public schools excellent, we're going to be able to meet the diverse needs of the constituents there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And next is Mr. Wade.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more. We have to become a lot more diverse in our structure at the KUSD. The way you do that, you go out to the community, you get input, you go to the colleges, trade schools, you see what's available, you put on programs, if you will, to encourage people of color and all people in general to get into the education field. When I was in law enforcement, I know we had the same difficulty getting officers of color. We went down to a lot of the technical colleges, Chicago colleges, and we found it difficult to encourage them to get into that field. I would hope it would not be as difficult to get people of color different diverse backgrounds into the teaching profession, because after all, I think they will eventually have, if they don't already have children, and they want nothing but the best. But doing it, it's a task, and it requires a community work on this, not only KUSD. I think we can do it. No, let me rephrase it. I know we can do it if we put our hearts and minds into it.
Okay, thank you. And then Mrs. Adams.
Yes, I first want to start out by saying I was a little disappointed when I returned to the school board after 15 years on how we've gone backwards in diversifying our workforce. It looked a lot different when I was on the school board prior. So we are in very much need of improvement of diversifying our workforce and making students of color, biracial students, all students, not only them, but comfortable in our school buildings and in their classrooms. So as far as recruitment and retention and the hiring of new teachers and administrators, we need to go back to the way we did it before, and it was quite successful. But the district back 15 years ago needed to do it because of some Office of Civil Rights complaints. So it's not as if we just did it. We were being pressured to do it, but it worked. I can relate to Doris. I can recall Doris Kurtz, Dr. Kurtz, spending a whole year on a report where she went around and interviewed students on how they felt in the classroom, and that was an amazing report. I'd like to revive that. Nobody seems to be able to find it, but I want to look at that again and do this a similar questionnaire survey of our students to see how they feel as it relates to things that need to change to make them feel different. We do know that they understand that if they have a teacher that looks like them, that makes a major difference in their education. So that's not to say that other teachers couldn't do a good job. It's just that fact that they look like you, that makes a big difference. Trauma-informed practices, that is so very important. But we need to train our counselors that we have, at least some of them, so that they're expertly trained in this area. I also think we need an administrator whose primary purpose is going to be to address the needs of students that have been traumatized. So I think that bringing in our community partners, we've heard a lot from the Coalition for Dismantling Racism, the NAACP, LULAC, Urban League, but also the colleges, Gateway Technical College, Carthage, and UW Parkside. They'll be our partners to help us recruit teachers, but we also need to make sure we can retain them. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to remind everyone that this is the Kenosha Unified School District Candidate Forum for School Board. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert. We are here with KUSD School Board candidates Yolanda Santos Adams, Kyle Flood, Todd Price, and Dan Wade. So my next question will start with Dr. Price. How much time have you spent in KUSD schools, in what context, and can you name some of the schools where you've spent time? What relationships have you developed as a result, and how will these experiences inform your work on the board?
You saved the best question for last. So I've spent time in Roosevelt and in Lincoln chasing my kids, basically. I'm the first parent to step up to volunteer because I enjoy so much the activities that are going on. My own children have gone through an excellent program called the International Baccalaureate Curriculum at the Roosevelt School, which is just really delightful to see because they were able to, with their cohort, have several different types of field trips, but also learn a particular type of curriculum, which is really developing a world citizen. And this is very consistent with my own work, which is that I've been writing papers and talking about civics and citizenship in the 21st century. And so to that end, I see the value of me being a professor that has some, to be sure, some privilege in being able to get to the schools, to take every opportunity to go to the schools and meet with the teachers and talk with the teachers, follow my kids around on the field trips, help out as I can. Much of the rest of my day job is actually lobbying on behalf of the teachers in Illinois and D.C. And so every chance I get to go into the schools in that parent capacity is I take advantage of, and I find great things going on every day. In fact, I wish more parents had perhaps the opportunity to do all the experiences that I've had with my kids, and I want to make that possible for them too. So in that capacity, thank you.
Okay, thanks. And the next person to answer that is Mr. Wade.
Thank you so much. I think getting into schools is probably one of the most enjoyable parts of being on the school board. I have visited, there are 41 schools in that district. I believe I have stopped in and visited at least each and every one of them at some point in time. I have done most of my help, if you will, at Stoker, Lakeview, Frank, and Epsala. It's amazing, you get to walk through the schools, you don't get a chance to talk too much to the teachers, but you certainly get to interact with the students. And I think that's the most important thing, and it's the most gratifying thing to me, to be able to talk with the students. I've assisted on trips with Lakeview Academy. I've talked to almost all the principals that I've been able to get to on a daily basis. But spending time at the schools is so very, very important, at least to me. You know, being 75 years old, I just love being around kids. It brings me back to my childhood again. Will things ever be the way they were? No. But we can make it enjoyable for them. And just having an adult present that smiles and talks to the students on their level, that means so very, very much.
Okay, thank you. And next is Mrs. Adams.
Yes, first let me say that our district, Kenosha Unified School District, serves more than 20,000 children that come from Kenosha, Pleasant Prairie, and Summers. Our 4K through 12th grade consists of a lot of schools. So we have 3 high schools, 5 middle schools, 22 elementary schools, 5 charter schools, 4 choice schools, 1 specialty school, and 1 Head Start program. That's a lot of schools. When I served previously, I attended activities in every one of those schools. I am currently a grandparent of students that are at Jefferson, at Bullen, at Washington Middle School, and at Stoker Elementary School. So I'm in those 4 schools constantly for school events. I did attend the Washington Junior High, I still call it Junior High, Washington Middle School Talent Show recently, the concerts at Stoker Elementary. I was at the Kindness Week event at Bradford, and I toured the school to see what some of the facility upgrades had been. And I was most recently at the Indian Trail Academy Black History performance and celebration. I support the Jefferson basketball team at the Boys and Girls Club every Friday. And I pride myself on saying that when I served on the school board previously, I attended every graduation of every high school for the years that I served on the board, and I tend to do that again. Very important to be in our schools, meet the principal, see what the upgrades have been to our schools, and meet the students, see how the students are acting in the hallways, and just introduce ourselves as school board members to any of the family members that may be in the schools. So very important, visit the schools if you're going to be a school board member and know your community.
Okay, thank you. And last but not least, Mr. Flood.
And as I said, I am a graduate of KUSD schools. I attended K through 12. I attended Whittier, Forest Park, Lance, and Tremper High School. As a student, I was really involved in the theater program. I did shows at Tremper, Bradford, and Reuther, actually. I still attend a lot of those productions. I was just at Something Rotten at Bradford. It was a great and very funny production. I'm very much looking forward to Tremper's production of 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is a mouthful, that is coming up this month. I think I can say that I'm the only candidate here who was actually a student in the past 10 years. And so I think that means something. I think that puts me a little closer to the schools. My first signature on my nomination papers was a Harborside senior who will be voting for the first time. Hi, Logan, if you're listening. I have cousins in the district. And as a board member, I was constantly visiting schools, building relationships with principals, teachers, students. And one of my biggest pushes on the board was to get a student voice policy passed. That didn't happen. It was never brought up for a vote and still hasn't been brought up for a vote. But I think that we need to mandate that board members and administration are in the schools listening to students. And that was the point of that policy. And I still think that we need to pass a policy like that because we should be in there. Dan and Yolanda visit schools. Not every school board member does. And I think that needs to change. I think that we need to hear from our students, from our staff, and the way to do that is to be in every school. I'm not sure if there's a single school I haven't been in.
Okay, thank you. And now for the fourth question, Mr. Wade will begin. So this will be a really easy one. No. how will you handle controversial issues within the community? And can you give me an example of how you dealt with a difficult problem involving parents and the public in the past?
You're right. That's an easy one. controversy is something that not only a school board member, but as a human being, you have to deal with on a daily basis. And the only way that you're going to alleviate some of that controversy is to sit down and talk about it. If there's two parties involved and you're the mediator, that's the way it should be. But unless you can sit down and explain yourself face-to-face with somebody, ask questions and answer questions, that's the only way you're going to get a resolution on it. That's why I'm not a big fan of texting. I'm not a big fan of telephones. I would rather sit down and talk to somebody face to face, because then you can do a little reading of body language. You can tone of voice. These are the things that are important in solving any controversies that come up. If need be, you get outside help to resolve the issue, whatever that case may be. But you can't ignore it. Don't ever, ever ignore a controversy if it's brought to you. Confront it head on. Deal with it. That's the only way you're going to get a resolution that is agreeable to both parties.
And the second part of the question was, can you give an example of how you dealt with a difficult problem with parents and the public in the past?
Well, probably with the dress code, I would guess, right off the top of my head. We had issues about the dress code. Those are for it and against it. You know, they want leggings, they don't want leggings. They want yoga pants, they don't want yoga pants. But getting the citizens, parents together, along with the administration, is the way to solve a problem.
Okay, thank you. The next person is Mrs. Adams.
Yes. How we need to deal with controversial issues that come to the school board of Kenosha Unified. I truly believe we need to revive and bring back the committees. Our district policy 8850 sets the guidelines for four committees: audit, budget, and finance is one. We have planning, facilities, and equipment as another, curriculum, program as another, and the fourth one is personnel and policy. That is where community members and parents have some voice on some of the things that we're trying to change, some of the policies we're trying to change. And from that discussion and their recommendation, then as board members, we have the ultimate responsibility of making a decision. The decision is ours alone, but at least we've heard from the community and parents who do serve on those and are able to come to a committee meeting and sit in the audience and provide some input. To me, that's the venue for receiving some feedback from the community. An example of a recent controversial issue since I've been on the board for this past 6 months has to absolutely be the transgender policy. That is a policy that was a new policy. It passed the first reading. It's passed. It can be changed again if needed. But I feel what was lacking on that policy is exactly what I said, the community input on it. But we need to hear from not just the students as it relates to transgender policy and its content, but the teachers. I think we've heard from some of the teachers on how that would affect them and their day job. But we also need to hear from the parents on both sides of the issue, those in favor of giving the right to the students, and the parents that are opposed to relinquishing their right to know about the students. So to recap, I just think board committee is an excellent place to get that feedback.
Okay, thank you. And next is Mr. Flood.
Well, controversy doesn't worry me. I'm no stranger to controversy. If you're going to get through it, you have to come up with solutions together. When you asked to give an example, I really thought back to my first year on the school board when the Act 10 drama was still going on. And we had to make some very tough decisions. We had every school board meeting full of very angry people, and we had to decide things like the health insurance contributions. And the way we did that is I had to work with the former school board member, Bob Nuzzo, who I agreed with on very little. But when it came right down to it, we had to sit down, we had to talk about it. And I used to do that. I used to sit down with the board members that I didn't necessarily agree with. We'd have hour-long coffees, and we would come up with solutions that worked for everybody, because that is the only way you get through those tough issues. What it ultimately comes down to is transparency and accountability. To be more transparent, the board is going to have to make some changes. We are going to have to restore the responses to citizen comments that were removed from the agenda. We are going to have to use committees again, like Yolanda mentioned. That's how you bring in the community. You have to bring in the community. We represent the people. We need to do things like more surveys, the student voice policy, working with staff in the KEA, strengthening PTAs. That's the only way we get everyone to the table to talk about these controversial issues and come up with solutions that everybody can be happy with. I will never be afraid to tell you my opinion. I will never be afraid to take a vote on a tough issue. I can promise you that.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Dr. Price, your turn.
Yes, I'm going to start with an example actually first, because this I'm not sure what is not controversial these days. Every single issue raises challenges. One that is just sensitive and to me was in a guidance and counseling capacity many years past. I had a student that I was a practicum person and I was working with, and he was getting in fights all the time. And we found out, and I found out in talking with him, that he was actually having some problems at home. And he was having problems with his mother's boyfriend, who was very close in age to him, and it was an uncomfortable situation for him. In that capacity, I had to advocate for him, because I knew he was a good kid, that he just needed somebody to notice him and stick up for him. And we did that, and lo and behold, he turned it right around, and later in the year he received an award for some sort of improvement. Every child needs an adult that is looking out for them at every school. Some kids don't have that at home or are being ignored. And I think the most controversial discussion we have to have is how we can help our parents, who are, after all, the first teachers. The other one actually has driven a lot of controversy, although it's a little bit more mundane, I think. It's about standards and standards-based grading. And over the last several years, I think everybody on this panel knows the way we grade has changed, the way we assess has changed, and for some of us, it's changed a lot. So parents don't always understand how their kids are being evaluated. But I've seen it done well in our school district. With my kids have only known the new way to do it, and they've never had a change. And so they sail with it. So bringing those parents in, as was eloquently referenced by Kyle and others, and certainly Yolanda brought up explicitly the transgender, that was a good showing. I was at that meeting, and I thought the board did a reasonably good job in terms of at least having transparent conversation about it. But I do agree we should have more committee work, actually, because those issues need the whole community's insight and input. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, as predicted, time flies when you're having fun. This is the Education Matters Kenosha Unified School District Candidate Forum. We are here with KUSD School Board candidates Yolanda Santos-Adams, Kyle Flood, Todd Price, and Dan Wade. They are running for school board, and the election will be Tuesday, April 7th. Each candidate will now have 1 minute to make a closing or summary statement, and we're going to start with Mrs. Adams.
Okay, 1 minute. So what can I say in 1 minute? What I bring to the table, if I were to return as a school board member, again, is my experience. I have decades of board service. I've served for over 45 years in my community on various boards and committees, all the way from United Way to Education Foundation, State Council on Affirmative Action, Spanish Center, Alcohol and the Drug Council, Urban League. I bring financial expertise. having been a chief financial officer and a chief executive officer of various organizations. So I am a budget-wise, and I am connected to my community, and I just sincerely hope that everyone that's listening today will feel the same way, that I'm the best school board member because I bring not only diversity and bilingual abilities, but I have strong record of community service and school board service. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Mr. Flood.
Well, thank you, Karen, WGTD, fellow candidates, for all being here and for doing this. I hope today that you heard some differences between myself and my opponents. I am here to ultimately represent you. I will do so by pushing the tough conversations forward. As your school board member, I will fight for the physical and emotional safety of our students, increased prep time and inclusion of staff on district governance. I will pass the student voice policy and support every chance to increase student choices and opportunity. Together, we will force more transparency, and administration will once again be held accountable. I hope I'm earning your vote. I would invite you to visit my Facebook page, facebook.com/KyleForKUSD, to see my upcoming events. I'd love to meet you, hear your concerns, hear your story, and earn your vote.
Thank you. Dr. Price?
Yes, thanks WGTD and everybody on the panel. It's great to have this forum. As a director of policy studies, I, at my day job, consistently advocate on behalf of teacher education because excellent teachers, highly qualified, are the best means to make sure that our kids get the customized curriculum they need. Customized curriculum is the key piece that I bring to this. I'm a professor of curriculum, and I want every child to have a curriculum that is indeed customized to them. What I mean by that is that we need to have a degree plan for every child. Every child is special. Every parent wants their child to get the best education they can get, and that means that we have to have professional development for our teachers so that they can be confident in what they're teaching. I'm also, as Yolanda is, of course, endorsed by Kenosha Education Association. We have the trust of the teachers, and we're going to move forward. I'm going to move forward to make sure our public schools are publicly funded. And if we have excellent schools, we won't have to worry about the funds going to other schools that are not public. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And finally, Mr. Wade.
Thank you so much. And again, I want to thank all the candidates today. There were a lot of great ideas. As far as giving you a closing statement on myself, I don't have much to say other than what you see is what you get. I've been here for 6 years. You know what my policies and my feelings are, so I'm not going to, you know, worry about that. What I want to do is take this few seconds that I've got left to implore the parents in this community to help us educate your children. Do things at home that help them to learn. Be there for them. Help them solve their problems. We cannot do it alone. That old saying, it takes a village to raise a child, it certainly does. Thank you so much.
And thank you once again, our Kenosha Unified School District candidates who are running in the April 7th election for school board. I just want to thank you all and to remind all of our listeners and viewers today how much work it is to run a campaign and how much time and energy and time with their families that people are sacrificing in order to represent you. So please make sure that you take advantage of all of the ways to communicate with them, ask them questions, find out more about how they think about various subjects that they're going to face in front of the board, and make a good decision on April 7th. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Today's programming was recorded before the COVID-19 national crisis.
This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good evening, and welcome to WGTD's Racine City Council election forum.